some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. We've got a great show for you tonight. We're going to have Mr. Richard Wynn with Wynn Locations joining us in just a moment or two. But I want to give you a heads up and also a review of what's been going on the show this week. So if you want to go back and check out any episodes on demand, you certainly can do so. Tomorrow night, we have Mr. Chris Ando. He is the author of a five-star reviewed novel. Well, I have to make sure we call it a novel, but it's called Delusions of Grandeur, and it's about the underbelly world of St. Louis, Missouri. Apparently, there's other cities involved, too, but there are lots of things that are ringing too close to home for a lot of folks who are reading the book, and there's been interesting activities that are going on in Chris's world as a result. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow night. And on Friday, at an early Friday night dance party start time, we've got Mr. Joseph Strider sharing his guitar, more of an acoustic sound, with Mary Lou Monroe Ray. She's interviewing him live from Brisbane, Australia. We have a special start time of 3 p.m. We're doing it early, thanks to both Mary Lou and Joseph, so I can head up to L.A. to the K-Jazz Festival to see Sasha's Block and Alex Gershman play their set. And I'm grateful to Chip at Miles High Productions for making that happen. Quick review for Monday. We had Mr. Bill Sinquet, bass player for Neil Diamond, and author of a fantastic book everybody in the music business should read. You need to go back and listen to the interview. Last night we had Mr. David Swatling on the show. He was calling from Amsterdam about his book called Calvin's Head, and it's just been an action-packed week. But as I bring Richard onto the show tonight, I have never talked to somebody who does what Richard does. So one of the reasons I'm fascinated by having him as a guest, not only is it, you know, because he's in the business, but he services an aspect of the business in the movie and TV industry that I don't think a lot of us think about. And it is, you know, all those locations you see in movies and TV. And so my famous line is, without further ado, let's bring on our guest for the night. And it's Mr. Richard Wynn. Richard, how are you today?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being here on the show. It's an honor and privilege to have somebody as busy as you are to take time out of your evening to call in to be our guest. So I want to thank you, number one, first and foremost, for that. But number two, who are you, Richard Wynn? You are like this man of mystery that does all of these amazing things up in Hollywood.
Well, that's a very good question, and I'm happy to answer that question. I'm, you know, Richard Wynn, as you duly pointed out, and I run and own and operate a location service based in downtown Los Angeles. What we like to do and what we try to do every day is to bring together property owners, people that have houses, people that have different kinds of buildings, whether they're residential buildings or retail buildings, mixed-use buildings, for example, together with the entertainment industry folks, the location managers and location scouts, to bring about on-location filming. Now, here in L.A. And throughout a lot of cities in the United States and international cities as well, there is a great demand for new looks for the entertainment industry. They go out almost every week if it's a television show, and, of course, if it's a commercial, they go out even more than that, trying to find new and interesting places to showcase for their product and their television show. And that's kind of where we come in. We work with the location managers and the location scouts to try to help the producers and directors find a good look for their shows and commercials.
Well, Richard, okay, I've got to ask you this. So did you start out like playing with Lincoln Logs and building blocks when you're like 3 and 4 years old and say, when I grow up, I'm going to, you know, be a location mogul out of Los Angeles and I'm going to help the film industry? How did you fall into this? I mean, or how did you create this? Because obviously this isn't something that, you know, you just woke up one day and said you wanted to do.
Well, no, it really wasn't, and it's a very interesting story, and I tend to believe, after meeting so many people here in Los Angeles, it's a rather unique story. I have had the privilege to know Jerry Peroni, who is Tom Gilmore's business partner for many, many years. Jerry and Tom are principal partners in Gilmore Associates, who have spearheaded the downtown revival, of all the many of the buildings, residential buildings that have been brought back to life after many, many years and being empty. Tom Gilmore particularly came to Los Angeles a long time ago, probably about 14, 15 years ago, even before that, and walked around a part of downtown L.A. that was just off Skid Row. And that area is over in the 4th and Main area, which is called the Old Bank District. He looked up and saw all of these empty buildings that were beautiful, beautiful old historic buildings, and had this wonderful, crazy idea to renovate them and turn them into condos on the top and beautiful retail on the bottom. And he and his business partner, Jerry Peroni, undertook a great feat and actually did that. And not too long ago, well, about 14 years ago, I moved to Los Angeles and met with Jerry and Tom and asked them what they intended to do and planned to do and would like to do with the filming here in Los Angeles. And they were like, well, we've kind of played around with some folks before, major studios and the like, but really haven't focused on making it a real business or a part of the business. So I said, look, I'll tell you what. If you give me 1 year to make $1 million and I do that with filming income, I get the properties for the rest of my life, no questions asked. And they both laughed and they said, yes, good luck. Never going to happen. Well, you know, long story short, I worked really hard. I started Wynn Locations in 2002. We were actually the first location service to move everything from these old antiquated books that a lot of the services have in L.A. where they take pictures of different locations and projects, and location scouts would have to go to the offices personally to look through all of these big binders. Well, One of my previous lives, a little hat that I wore previously, was working in the 90s in the whole internet imaging realm. So I basically took a lot of my properties, I took all the properties and put them online, and Wynn Locations was the first location service to break the mold and to put everything online.
How smart.
Streamline the industry. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. So you had experience in doing the internet stuff before. Did you come to Hollywood with the specific idea that I'm going to change the world? Did you know that this is kind of what you wanted to do beforehand, or is it just kind of did the idea kind of go on like a light switch when you met with these guys?
Well, it's a little bit of both. You know, I've had a business background and more of an analytical background. I used to work with UNESCO in Paris for quite some time, generating a program called the World Solar Summit, where we went around to different countries, group of different countries, and really tried to come up with renewable energy policy. This is way back when Clinton was president. So I had an analytical background. I had a business background following that. I started an internet imaging company in the south of France and then moved here and basically and happily married the two together and came and started Wynn Locations.
I love that. So when you put all of this together, and I love the fact that you took it from notebooks to the internet. That to me just is like the big no-brainer, and I'm going to ask you a follow-up question to that as we get towards the end of our time together. But did you have any restrictions or guidelines about what properties you would include in your locations?
Well, that's an interesting question as well. It's back in 2002, downtown Los Angeles, in this particular area of downtown, was vacant. Again, all the buildings were vacant. And Hollywood used that as a back lot, as a place where they would come and film all sorts of things and all times of the day and night. And it was easy to do because there were not a lot of residents and a lot of retail. And over the years, we saw that once the development kicked in, that it was a different show, so to say. So things changed a lot early in 2002, and from there, we really saw a lot of different changes in downtown.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things, and I'm newer to Los Angeles. I've been here about 5 years, but I will tell you that, you know, if somebody says, you know, come on all the way downtown, you know, you, at least when I first moved here, I would tell you I'd have to like think twice about, do I really want to go downtown and is it safe? But as I'm spending more and more time down there, it's like it's really cool to see the renovations that have taken place and the different things the buildings are being used for today. How difficult has it been as things have changed over the last 14 years for you to work with either like HOAs, the building owners, residents, and things like that? Do they get a kick out of the fact that, oh, my building's going to be on, you know, this movie or that movie or on this commercial? Or like, oh, come on, another day of filming, I've got to park somewhere else. What do you run into? What's typical, or is there typical?
Well, the process has changed over time, and being the leading location service in downtown, we were able to go in with many of our building property developers and our building managers and help shape the process for coexisting with film productions. So on one hand, we do have the HOAs, and we do have the apartments and a lot of the retail. And on the other hand, we have production crews that would like to continue to film in downtown. So to be honest with you, to answer your question in a different way, it was a lot of work between the community that lives and works downtown and city council and the other organizations that have a stake in downtown and production companies and major studios. So we did help. We sat at the table, as it were, and discussed all these good things. And obviously, it's an ever-changing process. Production, you know, likes to come down. Needs to come down at certain times of night. And you know, within certain guidelines that are pre-approved and pre-discussed, we have been able to find a process where all entities can coexist. Now, a lot of people in downtown LA are not always happy about production because naturally it causes traffic and congestion and things like that. But on the whole, I hope I'm not going out on a limb to say we all in Los Angeles enjoy seeing production because we know jobs are staying here in L.A. and we want to help the local shops and restaurants maintain their business and hopefully bring them some more.
Well, and I was going to ask about that, you know, because with the film crews coming in, and you know, everybody sees, you know, dollar signs to help support the local economy. You know, a lot of things that happen in my day life that don't have anything to do with radio still touch the entertainment business with people who are relocating and going other places simply for work. You know, and I've had so many people over the last couple of years say, well, you know, there's absolutely no work in LA, which we all know is silly. It's just they just aren't matched with the projects that work for them. But, you know, so many of the people are moving to Atlanta or to London or they're moving to North Carolina or these other places for work. Have you seen the revitalization of downtown, help or hinder bringing in more production for different projects?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, naturally, over the past few years, we have seen tax incentives pop up in other states. For instance, Louisiana has had a really good tax incentive for production folks to go down there. We've seen it happen in Texas and in Georgia and New York City, for example. So a lot of the other states kind of was well ahead of the curve when it came to trying to capture the production dollar. And ironically enough, California and Los Angeles were way behind the curve. In fact, just recently, Los Angeles and the state of California have put in place incentives to bring production back and to help grow the industry again here in Los Angeles. So from that, and I might add, a lot of the other states have either discontinued or are drastically brought down their incentives. So with this perfect storm, we have seen an uptick in filming over the last 6 to 8 months, which is very welcome. And a lot of it's going on in downtown. A lot of it's happening in Hollywood and West Hollywood and throughout Los Angeles. So we're hoping that the trend continues and that we continue to see a lot more filming around town.
Well, I hope so, too. You know, I think it's probably one of those things that, you know, you saw those incentives come in from other states. And I don't know. You know this better than I do, talking with everybody that you work with. But my armchair psychologist in me tells me that, you know, probably these states or cities that opted to give these really, you know, sweet, sweet, sweet production deals probably didn't realize quite the financial benefit that they were hoping in offering, you know, such huge discounts. And, you know, and then, you know, as we got, you know, wise to everybody leaving town, L.A. finally said, well, you know, it's time for us to do something that's going to kind of, you know, bring it back. But, you know, there's not really anything comparable to many of the locations that you work with. I mean, just from an exterior shot standpoint, probably the interiors as well. You know, you can build a set any place, but some of the things, places that you have on your website here at winlocations.com, you know, they're breathtaking, but they just reek of Los Angeles. And it's like you can't replicate that in Croatia.
Well, that's true, but the beauty of Hollywood, and this is something that still shocks me to today, every time we have a production in one of the locations, right before the crew and the cast fill in to start filming, I'll do a walkthrough with one of my site reps, and I'll look around and I'll see what the art department has done. And invariably, every single time, I am blown away at how Hollywood, the magic of Hollywood, is still alive and well and can recreate and create these wonderlands in the most craziest place. So, for instance, we were doing a big Spider-Man segment many years ago, a few years ago, and they took the bank, the Farmers and Merchant Bank, in the old bank district at 4th and Main, and they blew out the windows. They hung a huge chandelier that would swing from the inside to the outside. They dug up the concrete in front of the building to make it look like a big manhole. They went through days and days and days of decorating and preparing and lighting, and the segment that they caught and the beauty and the coolness of it all was just so unique. It was Hollywood magic.
Well, anything having to do with Hollywood magic is great. But you know, being partial, anything having to do with Hollywood magic that's actually filmed in Los Angeles, I think, is even better. Now, what's your geography? Do you have like a territorial footprint that you specialize in?
Well, we do. We started, as I mentioned, in downtown L.A. That is where a lot of our locations are. We're branching out to other areas now. We're just starting to work with the good folks in West Hollywood. They've just started a new direction where they're trying to get more filming in West Hollywood, and we're helping with them to bring about more filming in West Hollywood. But we have our portfolio really expands all over Los Angeles. We have things out in Sylmar. which is a neighborhood outside of downtown LA. We have things all over, but the majority of our work has been focused and continues to be in downtown Los Angeles.
So in this huge empire called Wynn Locations, how many millions of people do you have working for you in downtown L.A.?
Well, it really depends on the day. The one thing that Wynn Locations specifically offers are several different things, but one of the things is we have some of the best site reps in the business, and a site representative is a person who is managing the production from the minute they land on location to 18 minutes or an hour and a half after they leave. And they're there to help production with anything they need to. They're there to make sure that the production guidelines and the location agreement are adhered to. And they're there to just oversee the process of filming. And with that, the site reps, I have one in particular, Evan Rubenstein. He is fantastic. He's a hard worker. He's one of the best in the business. But those folks are the ones who I call on when we have production. So if we have 6 to 8 productions going on in a week, I'll bring site reps in to work for that. But the office is relatively small. I mean, we've got accountants, we've got assistants, and we've got a photographer, an on-staff photographer that goes out. So it's a lean machine, but it grows as needed.
I love that. And so, from a location standpoint, now I'm reading on your website that you have location scouts and some things like that. Do you get like requests from studios saying, okay, Richard, we've got this movie coming up, find us a place that has this, and then you either have it or go out and find it? What's the process like? How does that start?
Well, it's a pretty well-established process where a location manager or a location scout will work with a commercial or a studio television production or a major studio film, and sit down and work with, if it's a commercial, the client, for example, or work with the director and the art director to try to come up with a look. And the location manager, location scout, will go out into the city and the world and try to bring back options for the production folks to go over. We get a lot of phone calls directly from the location scouts and the location managers. And they either work within our portfolio, or if we're lucky enough to work with other services, we can call out and work together with other folks that provide the same service that we do to try to find something that is perfect for the production.
Have you ever had a request that was that you thought was really weird or unusual?
Oh, yes. I've had many of those.
Good.
I like to say we do everything but pornography. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But
okay.
we have been approached by folks that are interested in doing all sorts of things. But obviously we have to draw the line to make our clients happy and continue to make sure they're happy.
Well, you got to get that line on the sand and have that drawn. What are you doing from a technology standpoint to stay ahead of your competition right now?
Well, it's not necessarily as much technology as it is with marketing and with the relationships that we've formed. This type of service is really a relationship-based service. We go out, and because we're lean and we're mean, we can go out and develop relationships with folks and provide a service that is unlike many of the other services in town. And of course, we do work very hard to make sure that we market correctly and that we come together with with the manager, the building managers, and the HOAs to work directly with them. And, you know, we have to remember that the retail, too, the restaurants and other other folks, delis and the like, have other responsibilities. And their focus isn't on supplemental income that filming can do, but rather minding their daily needs and their daily customers and their daily business. So Wynn Locations has developed a rather unique strategy where we can come in and take over the entire filming process for these HOAs or our homeowners or whoever they may be, and conduct a complete and thorough vetting of each program and commercial production that comes about, as well as taking care of scouts and making sure that the paperwork is drafted correctly. And it's a thorough and full service that we provide, and it's very inclusive.
And I'm going to ask you one more question, but real quick, everybody, we've had Mr. Richard Wynn with Wynn Locations. They are a film location agency based here in Los Angeles. It's WynnLocations.com. You can go to their website and check them out, and I encourage you to do so. I want to thank Peter Morgan for making an introduction on email to us to get us connected here. Richard, before I let you go, I always like to ask a couple of questions. Number one, you know, what advice would you give to people that are starting out in their careers, to whether it's, you know, they want to be doing what you're doing or something else, but, you know, what advice would you give to them? And also, how would you like people to stay connected with you or Wynn Locations?
Well, those that are just starting out, if they're in the production business or just general business, you know, just come, just be yourself and have a have a good approach to people and be open to experiences and opportunities and do the right thing and treat people nice and be you know, just be a good guy or a good gal. I think that's really it's simple and it's kind of a cliche, but it's the truth. And again, you know, life is based on relationships. So I think that's sound advice for those that are coming up looking to move forward with careers, whether, again, it be in production or otherwise. And as far as contacting us, you know, the website, WynnLocations.com, is a perfect way to get a hold of us. Our email is rather easy to remember. It's info@WynnLocations.com. And, of course, phone and phone number is easy to get a hold of us as well.
There we go. Mr. Richard Wynn, it's my pleasure and honor to have you here tonight. I wish you much success. If you ever want to come back and just chat about, you know, crazy stories that have happened in the past, I would love to hear it. I know you've got encyclopedias.
I would love to. That's great. And thank you, Garrett, so much for having me on. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Everybody, it's been Mr. Richard Wynn. We're going to go to a commercial break right here for Rainbow Brew, our favorite coffee out of Minneapolis-St. Paul. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with news of the day, and we may even talk to Mary Lou out of Brisbane, Australia, talking about the Friday show. So here's a little commercial interlude for you. Enjoy.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
You know, I play that. I probably should have played the right back 30 because it's my 30-second clip and then gone to the Rainbow Brew. I didn't think about that far enough in advance because I've got Mary Lou Monroe Ray in Brisbane, Australia, trying to do a connection into the show tonight. We're trying, I'm going to tell you a little secret. We're trying to be really high tech and super high quality and do amazing things with the audio. So it sounds like you are listening to us through Bose speakers every single night, or, you know, whatever speakers sound really good to you. Maybe it's your Beat headset. Who knows? So Blog Talk Radio has this great thing called a direct connect. And it's a great thing because when it works brilliantly. But when it stops working as a host, you don't know. And as somebody who is helping with the show, Mary Lou, as she interviews guests from around the world, we're trying to be hip and cool and be one of the hip, cool kids and do all the cool stuff. And we sometimes have some challenges. So Mary Lou has gone out and invested in these fantastic headsets that are supposed to let her do this direct connect super easy. And it looks like she's dialing in now. So I'm going to unmute her line and say, Mary Lou, how are you this afternoon in Australia?
Hi, Garrett. Can you hear me?
I hear you just like you're next door. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but that's through my speakers. I hope I'm not giving you any feedback.
Nope. You sound great, but I know that's a mess from your end.
Yeah, so I might just have to, as long as we can hear everybody on Friday when I bring Joseph Strider on, a wonderful Native American singer-songwriter who has been nominated several times for the Indigenous Music Awards. So I'm really looking forward to that and presenting his wonderful music.
Well, I'm looking forward to having you back on the show, Mary Lou, because number one, you're one of my favorite people ever, and you always have great research that you've done on all the guests. I know Joseph is looking forward to it, too. We've got a special start time, and I'm going to give you mad props here in just a second. We've got a special start time on Friday at 3 p.m., which everybody else, meaning you and Joseph, have accommodated my schedule to allow the show to go early so I can race up to Hollywood for a great event with Sasha's Block for the K-Jazz Festival. Now, I will tell everybody that 3 p.m. doesn't sound so bad, except if you're in Brisbane, Australia, because that's like super early. What time is it going to be for you? It's like 7 or 8 in the morning?
I think about 7. So I get up with the kookaburras when they go off, and my budgies, they all chime in, you know. So I'll be up there, and you know, it's just it's just going to be a great show. And as you know, I've just come back from the Festival of Dreams, which was in Sydney. And that was our previous guest, Rosie Shalobe, who was the founder and the visionary of this wonderful thing. And we had our wonderful international Native American guest, the wonderful, blessed soul, Elder Saginaw. I believe he's started filming a new movie. He's back in Los Angeles now, as well as our wonderful Rick Mora, who was our guest in March earlier this year. And they came to Australia, and wow, have we got some footage and some wonderful stories and wisdom that they shared. So I'm trying to put that all together with Lynn Olive, who was so beautiful, and she went everywhere with me as we filmed many of the special guests and presenters there, and of course the Native American show that they had. So I'm really looking forward to getting that up there for people to share, and been fantastic, been so blessed.
Well, Mary Lou, I can't wait to hear more about that. We should just have an entire show just to talk about that. So that's number one. But I will tell everybody that's listening tonight, one of the things that Mary Lou is doing, she's becoming Madonna. And I say that because Madonna is opening in Madison Square Garden tonight in New York City for her Rebel Heart tour. And I know that only because people are posting pictures on Facebook, and it's very exciting. But we all know Madonna is the queen of reinvention. And Madonna has gone with all of her different looks and personalities, and with every album she comes out with something that's just a little bit different. And I would say Mary Lou is kind of doing the same thing. She has been an awesome co-host, she's been an awesome guest, and she's been a great resource to the show over the last couple of years. And number one, I want to thank her publicly for that. But number two, she has gone back to university. Here in the States, we call that good old college. And she is working on a degree in broadcasting and journalism. And part of that has just lit her on fire. And she wants to do all of these really cool things from, you know, interviews and TV and radio. And she has created her own Facebook page. And I'm going to encourage you to do this because she's going to be posting a lot of the shows that she has done in the past, but also all of her new shows for her new page called Rated Oz Radio. on Facebook. And if you go and check that out, you can like page. So I'm going to tell everybody in advance, go like the page, because Mary Lou will have all of her past broadcasts posted there for you, and then all of her future stuff. And she's going to have other cool things that are coming up in the coming weeks and months that she'll be sharing exclusively with you on that Rated Oz Radio page on Facebook. So please go check that out and go like it. If you're liking this show, you should be liking that as well, because it's kind of like having a spinoff series or something like that. And it's such a great compliment that Mary Lou is choosing to do this and still finds time to call into the show. So just some big thanks to you, Mary Lou, for all the work that you're doing, because I know it's been a challenge for you, to say the least.
Oh, thank you so much, Garrett. Thank you. I love your show. I love you. You are just the best radio host, and so many love your show. You are getting so big. And if it wasn't for the opportunity you gave me, none of this would happen. You helped me realize my niche and what I am so passionate about. And it was a dream I had as a little girl, you know, to sing and dance and to act and obviously do radio, because I love it. I love bringing the stories of people. There's so incredible stories to be told.
Isn't that fun, though?
And you are just the superstar host, and I can see such great, big, huge things coming up for you in television. I mean, does he not have the face, people? Does he not have the personality of greatness that the country, the states, and all around the world will just are falling in love with Garrett? And, you know, you are just a superstar. You are. And
I will say thank you, but you can still do the Friday show. You didn't have to say that, but I will, you know, you can still come on to the Friday show and do the Friday show. You didn't have to do that, but thank you very much. Can I tell you how excited I am about the Friday show and doing this early, though? Because, number one, I've been listening to Joseph Strider's music. He's not an artist I'm familiar with. So one of the things that I find humorous, here I am talking to Mary Lou right now. It's, you know, 7:40 my time here on a Wednesday night, and it's, you know, late, what is it, probably like, you know, 12:40 your time, something like that, on Thursday afternoon.
Yep,
and
I know, it's amazing.
You know, when Mary Lou says, you know, can I, you know, I found this person, they'd be a great guest for the show. And I said, this is great. You know, so the first person was from Australia, and the second person was from Australia. Next person is like from South Africa. And then we've got somebody from Los Angeles. And then I'm like, you're coming over here to the States, Mary Lou. You're getting all these people that are, you know, artists here in the States. What about all the people in Australia or, you know, New Zealand or something close? She goes, well, these are the people that I'm like zoning in on, and these are the people that I want to interview. And I said, that sounds good to me. And so I just kind of let you run loose, and you find these amazing people all over. But
I have such a list waiting. It's trying to, but you're so popular and busy too. So it's a matter of just getting everybody slotted in for the right times. And trust me, there are some amazing artists, musicians, you know, psychics, mediums, authors, writers, so many people with amazing stories to tell. I did some footage at the Festival of Dreams with a publishing company from the lovely Trudy King and Scott Alexander King, who does the animal dreaming. So it's really about our Indigenous animals here in Australia. And he spent some time with Saginaw when he was there, which was very powerful for him. But I interviewed four of their authors that are being released, and there are tears there. It was so moving that these people are given a voice and have the courage to bring their stories. And I know so many people who perhaps will empathize the journey they've each been on. I mean, one of the girls, her book's called Finding Kylie. She's about to come out. She hasn't been published as yet, but that is in the process. She could never speak until she was 7 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
She is now a speaker and a motivator. She actually does presentations. She speaks, and she's written this book. So there are some amazing people in this world that just inspire us and encourage us. And her theme is, if I can do it, you can do it. So I'm really looking forward to bringing some of that footage, and I've got the audio as well of what I did, so I can present that here, and we'll just find a special time to do this, or it might take a couple of shows, but when that fits in with of course your wonderful show, Garrett, I think our listeners will really, really love that. So,
well, here's the deal. You and I both know this, that, and I'm going to tell you, if the listeners don't know this already, I want to, number one, say thank you to everybody who listens. Thank you for every guest that's on the show. I love you all, and I'm so grateful to you, because I get to do this 5 nights a week, and it is honestly the most fun thing that I get to do. I used to say it was the funnest thing that I get to do, but, and I knew that that was poor grammar, but I love saying the funnest thing because I knew it was poor grammar. But it's funner.
Exactly.
So I'm trying to use my grammar and say it's one of the most fun things that I get to do in the course of my day. So I'm very grateful to all of you. With that being said, the show has gotten to a point where I'm legitimately booking probably about 6 to 8 weeks out in most cases. And on the Friday night dance party, I'm probably out a good 2 months in most scenarios. So, you know, finding dates to get people to be on the show, you know, we only do one guest per show, and that's done on purpose. I just love having a guest go the full hour. You know, tonight, Richard, he was so busy, he could only give us about half the show, and I'm grateful to him for that. So when we have, you know, if I had a 2-hour show or, you know, an expanded format, which we currently don't have the resources to do, you know, I could probably say, oh, yeah, we can do, you know, whatever. But when we do one guest per show and we're on 5 nights a week, there's only 5 days in the week, you know, so we've got regular guests and we've got people that come on, you know, monthly and quarterly. And I'm grateful for them because they're wildly popular, but that just limits the number of opportunities that we have. So, you know, like I'll send Mary Lou, you know, some open dates after the show, and it's like my first open date right now is Thursday, October 15th, and then I'm into, let's see, Wednesday, October 28th, Thursday, October 29th. So I'm like 6 weeks out for the first, you know, even first anything, and that doesn't even mean that Mary Lou's guest is going to be available to, you know, be on the show that particular day. But that's what, you know, we're looking at. So when we say we've got some great shows coming up, we've got some great shows coming up with guests that you won't even believe. And I want to give a big shout out to David Crooks in the UK. He's up at.
Hello, David. Yes.
He is one of my promotion partners and is constantly finding new people to be on the show, and we've got just some amazing people that he is finding for us. And if I told you some of the names of people that I'm connected to right now because of David, you would not believe me. You said, Garrett, you're making it up. So instead of telling you a big Hollywood fib, I'm not going to do that. The proof will be in the pudding, and when I start bringing these people onto the show, you will say, I can't believe that guest was on the show. And I'll say, I told you. And it'll probably be because of David, or it'll probably be because of Mary Lou, because Mary Lou lands all these big-name stars as well. And every time Mary Lou brings somebody on, I'm like, how in the world did you get them on the show? And she goes, I just asked, and, you know, I used my charming Australian accent, and they were putty in my hands.
Yeah, they're just beautiful people. And, you know, they're just amazing people that are just like you and me, but they, you know, have just been so focused, and some of them just knew what they wanted to do from the beginning, you know, and they followed their dream. And that's what it's about, is really loving what you do, following your passion, and allowing that dream to unfold before you and trusting in that, you know.
We're both at a certain point in our lives too, Mary Lou, where, you know, we've done other things in our lives. Some of the things we've enjoyed and some maybe not so much. And, you know, doing things that you like, how is that different when you get to wake up every morning and do something that you're passionate about? What does that mean to you?
For me, I've always been pretty passionate about life. And I think for days when things get too hard, the biggest thing I had to learn was about trusting. As you know, I've had to move from place to place. Just that was just some of the challenges that I met, and I think what that did for me was make me really question what it is that I wanted in my life, was that meant the most to me, to my values. Because we get so caught up in everyday life and the things we see that are happening around the world, and I think a lot of things people feel is, you know, they don't have an option, they don't have a choice. But the choice really is ours at the end of the day. It depends on making good decisions for ourselves and just kind of taking that little leap of faith sometimes when you know, it's just something that you have to do. It might seem risky. You know, you just have to jump in there sometimes and take that risk because it might just be the doorway you've been looking for all that time. And we get signs, you know, when a door slams in your face. And sometimes it's just surrendering to that. It's not like giving in. It's like just letting it go and allowing it to unfold. And I know you're a big believer. You've always been an encouraging person, Garrett. And, you know, I've just seen the mass change and how big this show is getting, the opportunities coming your way. And, you know, you're a wonderful singer and presenter. And so many people are so relaxed with you, you know, when you have these big stars on, and they just love being on your show. This is a great thing. So I'm hoping the networks out there in the States and around the world, because we'd love to have you here in Australia.
I would love, yes, do what Mary Lou says. Everybody, do what Mary Lou says now. I command it.
Yes. 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 Yeah. Do it now. Yeah. Book them. Book them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No. I mean, this is honestly one of the most enjoyable things I've ever done, and I'm grateful every day that this is something that I get to do, and then I get people like you that I'm now friends with. You know, we've had this conversation offline, but I think one of the beautiful things about Rated G Radio is the fact that throughout this process, I have made so many wonderful friends that I might have been connected with on Facebook, you know, because I've got, I don't know, 3,200 people that are my close personal friends on Facebook. How many of them do I actually know? I don't know. But I've made some great friends out of this that I never would have made ever before. You know, I've got Tony in New Jersey. I've got David in the UK. I've got Mary Lou in Brisbane. I've got Mark DePina in Sydney, Australia. I can give you a list, you know, I can go on with a list just off the top of my head, you know, like 30 or 40 or 50 people that I've never met, but who I consider great friends, who've been regular listeners to the show, regular contributors to the show, have, you know, asked for certain guests to be on the show and have made guests happen. It's been really, really fun. And I think that's one of the joys about being able to do something like this that, you know, it at the beginning, I'll tell you, you know, I don't ever edit the shows out. I don't ever edit, go back and, you know, say, oh, I've got to take out that swear word or I've got to take out that or ah, or this is live radio. I don't have time in my day to go back and edit an hour show and spend 7 hours editing an hour show to rebroadcast it. So nobody hears me take out that one that I heard that nobody else is going to hear. So that's it. So if you go back to day one a million years ago, you'll hear how the shows went. And, you know, it was just some nights it was just me talking for an hour. And then there were nights, God bless America and God bless Australia. You know, we had guests that were, you know, volunteering to come onto the show, and I think more as a pity than anything else. You know, and I've also, and I did a shout out earlier to Mr. Peter Morgan for introducing me to Mr. Richard Wynn for the guest tonight. Big shout out to Peter. He has a big new career opportunity out in Washington, D.C., and he's listening in tonight. And I want to thank him again for the connection. So, you know, any power players that you have out there in D.C., you know, Peter, I'm open. So just, you know my email, you know what my digits are. Go ahead and make that connection. But, you know, I've made so many people that I call real, you know, dear friends out of this. And more people like yourselves are just coming to the network and saying, you know, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this community that you're creating here. And so I'm grateful to you, Mary Lou. It sounds like we're doing a Mutual Admiration Society meeting. I guess we kind of sort of are. But I mean that to anybody who's listening tonight as well, who has been joining the show on a regular basis. You know, and I realize, shock of all shocks, some people don't listen five nights a week. I'm just dumbfounded that, you know, people don't listen five nights a week. But I have the Rated G Radio Listener Survey, that which people still send me feedback on a regular basis. And I ask, how many times a week do you listen? You know, about 25% listen once a week. I get about 40% that listen 2 to 3 times a week. And there's a mix, you know, probably like 5% listen five nights a week, which is great. So let's make that 6 or 10%. But, yeah, you know, the fact is the numbers continue to grow and they show a pattern of the listenership, the geography of where the people are listening from, what they think of the guests that we have. And, you know, then also, you know, I say, you know, how exciting is it listening to me babble on for a while? Do you want to hear more of this or not? And they'll tell me, you know, and I get great feedback, and it's honest because I have no idea. So here's the little thing. If you do, and I'm going to encourage this, if you go and take the Rated G Radio listener survey, and I'll repost it on the site a little bit later. It's probably down towards the bottom of my feed. I will tell you, I have no idea whoever completes the survey. All I know is that SurveyMonkey sends me a thing saying, you've got 800 new notifications. And I go and I just kind of scroll through and take a look. But then it does a cumulative, you know, rating and ranking of the questions. And it's easy. It's 10 questions. So I'm not even going to make you, you know, sweat doing it. And there's no post-test. So, again, I'm not coming back to say, why did you ask me this question? Or how come you only gave me this or that? Or how come you gave me a perfect score here? I didn't think it should be. There's none of that. I never know. It's anonymous. So if you want to go take the listener quiz, please, please do so. Hey, you know, Mary Lou, I want to tell you one thing. This is brand new. This started out today. Well, I'm doing my homework on it after the show tonight. I haven't even told you this. I am launching a Rated G Radio travel cruise this next summer to the it is cool. It's going to be a Mediterranean wine tasting cruise. It's going to be a 10-day cruise, and I'm going to have information about it on the RatedGRadio.com website. I'll have it posted on Facebook and Instagram and all over the place. But we're going to be doing a cruise in it's mid-June, and then we're also booking a listener cruise for the end of the year. So if you've been holidayed out after Christmas, Thanksgiving, and everything and want to do something fun for New Year's, we're going to be doing a New Year's cruise as well that will be absolutely spectacular. I'm mentioning this now because it's September, so you've now got 9 months to start saving money, everybody. And the really cool thing is if you can save, you know, because let's face it, I'm going to get you a deal. You're going to have the only thing it's not going to include is going to be airfare. So you got to get to wherever we're going to be going. But then it's going to include the cruise. It's going to include your tour guides. It's going to include excursions and events and food and beverage and all this really cool stuff. It will knock your socks off. And I'm so excited to be able to share this with the listeners tonight. And this is something brand new. I've been working on this with a travel professional that's been doing not only private tours around the world to pretty much every place that anybody's ever wanted to go, but somebody who's also experienced in really doing some wow factor type of activities and events. So I'm very excited to share this with you. It will be on the RatedGRadio.com website, and it will be a travel extravaganza, and I don't know how else to say it other than that. So
Yeah, wow, that's so exciting. Oh, it'll be flat people that'll want to meet you, want to be part of this, and are you? I hope you sing on that wonderful cruise, Garrett Miller.
Well, any chance that they're going to give me a microphone and give me a backing track, I'm not sure if they're ever going to be able to get me off the stage. But between you and me, I will tell
or
you.
Off the boat.
Because I want to go on all these excursions that I've got planned for everybody. Because we've got some really cool things, and there's wine tasting in all these exotic locations. When I tell you, every place that you're going to go and actually see, it will absolutely flip your lids. Because you go like, I've always thought about going to some place like this, and I've never thought it was possible. We're going to make it possible for you, and it's going to be one of these things that it will be one of these lifetime. Once-in-a-lifetime bucket list type of experiences. So I'm just telling everybody, start saving a little bit now, because, again, my budget is very limited. I'm sure everybody out there has, only so many dollars to spend. But if you don't have a vacation fund set aside, I will encourage you to maybe set aside $100 a month if you can, or, $200 a month. $200 would probably be better. That's a little clue for you. But $200 a month now, between now and, June is going to get you real close to where you need to be for this. So it's not like, okay, you got to come up with a bunch of money at, tonight, because that's certainly not the case. But I want to tell you far enough in advance so you can start planning for it. And if the Mediterranean cruise, wine tasting cruise doesn't sound cool, the New Year's cruise will be even more spectacular. And I asked several people. I kind of did an informal poll before selecting this as an option. But I said, well, what about hanging out with family? And every single person that I talk to, and these are people that have done a lot of traveling in their past for both for business and also for pleasure, they all said, are you kidding? By the time Christmas is over, I don't want to even think about New Year's. I would love to go on a cruise like what you've described. So more will be released in the probably in the next week. I just have to put the work in because, again, I'm not going to, you know, say, go to my website now and take a look. Cause it's not, the work is not done. I've got it all charted out. I've got to go, you know, build the site and put it all together. But all of the programs and the cruise and all of that is already arranged. So I'm just throwing that out there to everybody. Super, super excited.
Wow. That is fantastic, Garrett. My God, I better renew my passport. I think that runs out next year. I better start saving.
Right.
I want to be on that cruise. I want to go over to the States or wherever you're leaving from. So I'm really looking forward to finding those details.
And here's one other thing I want to share with folks. I'm going to be positioning this because here's the other thing. Rated G Radio, the G in Rated G Radio stands for Garrett, okay? I mean, for me, I've always thought that everybody knew that. One of the things that I'm finding from a branding standpoint is that people know, they associate the Rated G Radio with me, but they don't really understand what the G is. And so some people think that Rated G means that, you know, we can't swear on the show. Well, I don't swear on the show because if I start, I sound like I have Tourette's. I can't stop. So it's really a public service to you that I don't start swearing, okay? But it's not that. It's the G is for Garrett. And I've had several other people say, you know what? I really like that you're doing this gay show. And it's like, it's not a gay show. It's Rated G Radio. Yeah, isn't the G for being gay? And I'm like, no. But I'm certainly not offended by that. So I'm really going to be actually hammering and targeting the LGBT community as my, I don't want to say my prime audience, but my prime niche for coming on this cruise with me. However, I'll also, but if you go, oh, you know, but I'm straight and I really don't want to, you know, if I go on a gay cruise, I'm going to be gay. It's going to be a gay group of people going. We're not renting the whole boat, folks. So if you are a straight ally and you say, you know what, I'd like to go, but I'm not really sure if I'm cool booking on a gay cruise, because it's not a gay cruise. We're just gay people going on a cruise. That's really going to be awesome. I've got a fantastic singles option that's available for you as well, and we will even be providing room or what's it like cruise mate service. So if you are a single person and would like to go, because it's all going to be based on double occupancy, you don't have to come up with like $8 million. We'll find somebody who will match certain criteria, or like, you know, not non-smoker, doesn't sleep with a TV on, isn't a snorer, you know, wears clothes inside the cabin, you know, things like that, and you know, we'll be able to match people up as well. But really cool stuff. So I'm going to be really marketing the travel as an LGBT option, and it's doing some research before this. I think it's going to be really, really cool, and I'm excited to be able to bring this to people. So stay tuned. Be patient with me. Give me another week or two, and I'll have this up, and then we'll be talking about all kinds of travel stuff. And we're going to be having some travel experts on the show, probably as we get into January, because, again, we're really going to be targeting the rest of the year for guests that we've already got scheduled, and plus we got Mary Lou's stuff, so we'll be doing all of that as well. But so Mary Lou, there's a little exclusive for you. I didn't know I was going to chat with you today. So this is all brand new.
Yeah. Well, it's a rainbow of people going on that cruise, Garrett, and I like the sound of Rated Garrett Radio. It's got a real nice ring to it as well.
Well, I think Rated Garrett Radio is too much. Rated G Radio is great. I like that. That's like Rated Oz Radio. It has a nice little ring to it. So we're going with just the Rated G Radio quote unquote brand, not Garrett brand, but just the Rated G Radio brand, and that's how we're going to do it. So,
but soon, Garrett, you know, you were talking about Madonna with one name. I mean, Garrett is just going to be one name. When you mention that name, I think most people know who you are.
Well, I agree. I completely agree with you, Mary Lou. Well, and just say, you know, like Mary Lou. Okay, so we're going to end our Mutual Admiration Society meeting in just a second here, because our show really is wrapping up. And I really had a bunch of other stuff I was going to talk about, but I'm so thrilled that you called in, Mary Lou, so we'll have to save that for another time. But, you know, the fact is that you've got one of those personalities and the names that's going to be like Cher or Madonna yourself. So as you get ready to finish your university studies down under in Brisbane, you know, I always say just keep in mind how you want to market yourself, because you've got quite the personality and you're already developing your following. So know that ahead of time as well.
Thank you, Garrett. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And of course, thanks to all the Rated G listeners and all the stations over in UK, in the UK, and the listeners there and all around the world. So I'll let you finish up your wonderful show, Garrett, and thanks for having me. It was a surprise.
Thank you, my dear.
It was lovely to be here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Surprise.
Talk to you soon.
Good. Have a great afternoon. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. And everybody, we're going to close out the show with Mr. Jordan Adams. He's a recent guest on the Friday Night Dance Party, and this is his hit single that's available on iTunes right now called Hold On. It's Mr. Jordan Adams from the UK, one of my favorite songs that it's on my iPad right now when I'm listening to. It's a ballad, but I still listen to it when I'm working out. Here you go, and we'll be back live on Thursday with Mr. Chris Ando with Delusions of Grandeur.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.